The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Learn the rules over you, simplify now to you are not allowed to criticize. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your co-host. Today is Sunday, so it's time for the Limeys for a show entitled A Bugman's Life with my co-host Maleficus Scott. So let's bring him up right now. Maleficus, are you with us?
I am indeed. It's lovely to be back. Happy Limey Sunday to all those listeners out there.
Thank you so much, Maleficus. And just to timestamp it for the benefit of the archive, it is 10:38 a.m. on Sunday, April the 4th, 2024. And in order to explain today's show title, A Bugman's Life, I'm sure you will all be delighted to hear that I've prepared this lengthy scripted explanation. I first heard the term Bugman many years ago from Mike Enoch, I believe, who broadcast shows on the rightstuff.biz. Now, my interpretation of Bugman at that time was a man whose whole life revolves solely around the material goods he possesses. Whilst there are many other aspects of a Bugman's life one could find within numerous articles on the internet, that is how I saw it back then, and I'm sticking to that definition. So, I consider myself a bug man based upon the following bug mannerisms I have. One would expect most 50-something men, such as myself, to have a wife and children. I, on the other hand, do not. So, whilst one would expect most 50-something men to have framed pictures of their wife and children in his house, here are the framed pictures I have. A Philips promotional brochure of my amplifier and speakers. An original pencil life drawing by John Ilsley, the bass player of Dire Straits. A picture frame describing the traits of my star sign Aquarius with a picture of me in it. And a St. Christopher necklace hanging off it that I bought on the island of Malta when I was 8 years old. Many years ago, as a yet unidentified bug man, as the term did not exist back then, I thought it would be a good idea to buy again all the material goods I had as a child and had gotten rid of. On that basis, I spent many months on the internet purchasing the following: Edie Blyton's entire collection of Secret 7 and Famous 5 books that had to have the television tie-in sleeves, as did the ones I once owned. Every Matchbox car I could ever remember owning, a Microvision handheld computer game along with the Kinect 4 cartridge I had for it, even though I never really liked it and have Kinect 4 on my phone anyway, the hardback first edition of every Tom Sharp book, and whilst I could go on and on, I would prefer you not to tune out just yet, as we haven't got to the good bit of the show yet, however subjective that may be. But the most important point I would like to make is I have probably only looked at these items once, and that was to check their condition was satisfactory when they arrived in the post before I put them away, only to be seen again when I moved them from my mum's house to my apartment and put them away again. And on that basis, I doubt if I will be looking at them ever again. Having satisfied every bug mannerism I could think of, I am now in the position that I cannot think of anything I really want to buy, apart from day-to-day essentials such as food, and apart from a couple of books and many radio shows, I am probably now best defined by this Philip Larkin poem entitled The View that I've read on here before when we were covering the Philip Larkin poems, but I'm going to read to you again now. The view is fine from 50, experienced climbers say. So overweight and shifty, I turned to face the way that led me to this day. Instead of fields and snow caps and flowered lanes that twist, the track breaks at my toe caps and drops away in mist. The view does not exist. Where has it gone the lifetime? Search me, what's left is drear. Unchilded and unwifed, I'm able to view that clear, so final and so near. And in conclusion, going back to bug mannerisms, today's show image is what can only be described as the piece de resistance of any self-confessed bug man, a signed photo of a famous person inscribed to the Bug Man. In this case, it is Roger Moore as James Bond, and whilst its origins are unclear, I believe it has something to do with my natural father in the 1970s, whilst he was the advertising manager of Nature magazine. I don't believe he met Roger Moore, so I can only presume he had a contact who knew him. Anyway, it's the oldest possession I was given that I still own, but nevertheless, I could quite easily live without it, as I could without all of the possessions that are as a result of my bug mannerisms. So whilst that may appear a rather depressing way to start today's show, I still prefer to look on the bright side. My story might provide inspiration to a listener. For example, Tindersticks might be listening, struggling with songs for their new album. But Maleficus, what say you?
I suppose I have a lot of bug mannerisms in that way as well. I'm very, very into my, as you know, my family history and all that kind of thing. When you were going through the pictures that are adorning your walls or you know, adorning your flat, you know, I'm looking around me at all the pictures I've got around me, and I've got my little office that I, you know, that I sit in to do this broadcast and others, is covered. Literally covered in pictures and photos, and you know, I've got an old pastel drawing of my grandfather, the one who wrote the book, when he was in his 20s. So that must have been around 1901,
yeah,
something like that. 1901, 1902. There's a photograph of him in his youth. Well, it's not a photograph; it's literally a pastel, a hand-drawn pastel picture in a frame. It's, I'd say, probably A2 size for all you nerdy folks out there. It's a big old picture, all hand-drawn. What else have I got? I've got a photograph of I've got photographs of my dad when he graduated in his RAF squadron and all that kind of thing. I've got loads of sort of, I suppose, memorabilia that, yes, you could quite easily live without. Another thing I've got hanging up is my granddad's recommendation for promotion after he left, you know, well, when he was during World War II. So he was promoted, you know, from one rank to another. And it's basically a detailing of his staff qualities, essentially. You know, all these little things, yes, you could live without, but I don't think I want to. I'm happy to have them all around me, you know?
Yeah, but the difference there is all of these are family related, whereas all of my things are either all about me, because one thing I didn't mention is I've got Tex Mars, when he released The Synagogue of Satan back in March of 2007, he did a big full-page advert in the American Free Press. He produced... and something else he produced was this double-sided, you know, printer page size, because American printer page is different to our A4, but it's printer page size, with a description of the book on the back and a picture of the cover on the front. And I've got that in a frame, the back of it in the frame as well, because I've got a few of those leaflets. But all of your things are family-related, and I've been going through that recently, because one thing that came to mind, this is really odd, I found when I've been going through stuff, is my mother's grandfather, he did all sorts of jobs. And there's one of these sort of steel tankard things that you drink beer out of. And it's engraved to him as the Hoover salesman of some month in 1938. And I'm like, I never met him. I don't like tankards, all this sort of stuff. So at the moment, it's in the room on the side where my Nana and Grandad, so his father, her father rather, used to sleep when they came over every weekend. So I thought, well, I'll put it there for the moment, but they'll probably end up going. But yeah, I think all my... And the other thing family-related, you see, it's only really my mum and my dad. And of course, I did have a photo of my mum, my dad and me on the side. I only took that down a few months ago, but it was when she started getting the dementia, because whenever I looked at it, I just thought of her now. So I imagine it will go up, but I was over there at the few days ago, and see, this time she introduced me to two different members of staff as her husband. But enough about me. Maleficus, what have you been up to?
Oh, crikey. So I had a nice surprise at the beginning of the weekend. My son decided he'd pay a surprise visit from Wales. So that was really nice. I've spent the weekend catching up with my son. Much drinking and merriment has been had. But the most interesting thing that has occurred this week is our boiler. I don't mean to talk about mundane things like boilers and this, that and the other, but our boiler went down. So our boiler provides all the hot water and the heating for the house. And we do have an electric shower, so we're not without the ability to wash. But the boiler went down a couple of weeks ago, and we decided we would get a quote from British Gas to replace the boiler. We got quotes from others as well. But here's the thing. British Gas, who made £750 million profit last year, because of the price of gas going up, apparently because of the Ukraine war, charge more in labour and services than the boiler itself costs. So bearing in mind a boiler is about 1,200 quid here in the UK. Bearing in mind, boiler is about 1,200 quid in the UK. Just the labour alone, bearing in mind it takes between 4 and 8 hours to fit a boiler. The labour alone was 1,300 quid before any of the other things that they insist you do, otherwise they won't give you the full 10 years warranty that is supposed to come with the boiler anyway. And we were hounded after the next couple of days, despite me telling the chap that, I'm going to be getting other quotes. We were hounded a couple of days later. British Gas phoned us up and said, wondered if you'd had a chance to think about the deal. And I said, yeah. I said, I've had a chance to think about it. And I put the lady on speakerphone so that my other half could hear. And I said, how can you justify more than the cost of the boiler for less than a day's work? And she said, well, we are a big company and we have got lots of overheads. I said, what? 1,200 quid's worth of overheads. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And and she said, oh, well, I can offer you £150 off if you like. it's a drop in the ocean. But folks, no wonder that these gas companies, or British Gas in particular, have made such a bloody profit when they're charging extortionate amounts of money for something that, your average plumber, I mean, even up in London, Andy, your average plumber, what is it, 65, 70 quid for the first hour and then another 35, 40 quid an hour after that. I mean, even if I had two of them here all day, it wouldn't amount to that much money. Do you know what I mean? And what irritates me more than anything about it, so rant nearly over, what irritates me more than anything about it is that you won't get credit from your standard plumber. But British Gas have got all these people who can't afford to replace their boiler over a barrel, because they'll offer you 4 years, 6 years interest-free credit. And for me, it would have just meant an extra, bearing in mind how much the gas and electricity bills have gone up in the last couple of years, it would have just been an extra £60 a month on my bill, Andy, for 4 years.
That's how they sell it. Yeah, now that's interesting because, so to all the audience all the problems I've had with my boiler. That's pretty much done now. But I had to get someone separately in to do the thermostat, because some boiler engineer had cocked it all up and wired it all up wrong. And so even when it was working, it wasn't, it wasn't coming on in one room, what have you. When I originally got these people, the first thing that happened is I called someone out of Check-A-Trade, which is something in the UK that it's like the old Yellow Pages, but it's a little leaflet comes through your door, and apparently all these people are verified and what have you as tradesmen, and you can trust them and all that. And I had this company coming over, and it was all arranged, and then I get a call, oh, we can't come today after all, it's going to be 2 days' time. And I said, well, find someone else. Oh, we can give you so much money off and all this. I said, no. I said, I've waited in for you. You've now cost me, you know, if you'd have just not booked me in at a time, then I'd have gone to someone else and I'd have someone here now doing it. So the people I end up getting were my second choice. But I looked them up. They're obviously a sort of independent operation with just like three or four of them. They've worked very hard on their website, very impressed, stuff like that. And the work was brilliant. And they're the first people to ever actually get the whole thing going. So I had to do it in two hits. I had to get a boiler engineer to make sure the boiler was functioning properly, and then an electrician to make sure that, you know, it was wired correctly to the switches that activate what it does. And fortunately now it's the best it's ever been, but it's been a long old slog getting there, as you know. Even by using the company that this building used, I thought, we can't go wrong there. Nobody's going to be more experienced than them. Well, no, they weren't good enough. They cocked it up and I ended up spending hundreds of pounds on them, and they just made it all worse. I had to go back to the people that actually manufactured the boiler and get them in to get it right, and then get these electrical contractors to get the thermostats right. So yeah, when you get there it's good, but gone are the days. I mean, I've got a situation with my washing machine where it's been put on a foamy tight floor, which doesn't sound right to start with, but it was fine for like best part of 10 years, but over time it sort of, that gets eroded as it's rattling round. So I need someone else to put something under it to make it level, because at the moment if you have it on a full spin 1400, it starts rocking all over the place. And so I had someone in and he said, oh yeah, it's the floor, that'll be £100, by the way, we can't do anything about that. He said, well, all you can do is run it on 800 spin instead of 1400. So that's what I've been doing. Consequently, the clothes don't get as dry, so they take longer to dry when you hang them up. But yeah, if I'd like to get that, but I've looked at all these people, oh, we don't do that. I had one plumber booked in and I had to keep chasing him. And he was booked in for a day, never turned up. I said, I thought we were booked in for today. Sent him a text message, never heard from him. Couldn't give a shit, okay? That's the way a lot of these people are. So now I'm like, if I've got to deal with one of these arseholes coming into my flat, right, or I'm going to put up with just running it on 800, I'd rather do that than be messed about by people saying they're going to come. People come over, they cause all sorts of crap. You remember that guy with the washing machine who did a great big dump and blocked up my toilet? Funnily enough, I don't want people like that in my flat. I'd rather just be here on my own and just get on with it. So I'm proud to be able to carry on your rant from where you left off.
And a worthy rant it was. So needless to say, I will be going with an independent, not with British Gas. As I say, it's no wonder they've made £750 million profit over the last year. So crazy.
Yeah. Indeed. Okay, so I shouldn't really be here. Only last Saturday, I woke up with some sort of unpleasant rash on my right shoulder. And after going to a pharmacist that same day, 8 days ago, he said, if it is still there on Monday, you should see your doctor. It was, so I did. And I was diagnosed with a fungal infection on my shoulder. How awful. Anyway, get this, Maleficus. The doctor asked me if I had been overexerting myself physically recently, such as overexercising. I said no, although I've been doing a lot at my mother's house, and he said that was it. So I now have a cream that I have to put on twice a day that has to be kept in the fridge for some reason. If it doesn't go in a month, the rash that is, I have to go back. So in some ways I feel validated by cutting down my show output last June, in the sense that what I've taken on with regard to my mum is a lot harder than putting out a show every day of the year, as I got no such infections when I was doing that. But Maleficus, what say you?
Yeah, oh, that's very unfortunate, me. I'm sorry to hear that. No comments really at all, other than get well soon.
Yeah, well, anyway, not only did I end up doing the lawn when I should be taking it easy, I spent another hour digging up bramble roots. But as I complained to my mother's care home manager on Wednesday when I was in there signing a vaccine refusal form, if I don't do it, who else is going to do it? And so now I'm also taking the opportunity to complain to all of you. And finally, after last week's non-event that was the eclipse, I was thinking of calling Saturday's show Total Eclipse of the Nothing Burger. And I did make the comment on Saturday's show that it would be great. My books are basically timelines, as you know. Synagogue of Satan is a timeline. And In the Name of Yahweh is a timeline from the Bible. And I actually got a Bible. I've got a Nelson's, but Nelson's King James Bible, and I also got a Nelson's chronological King James Bible, because the early books of the Bible are pretty much chronological, but when you get to things like Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, they all happen at the same time, so they have to reorder it so all the things follow as they would have done historically, and that was what I needed to do that. I don't fancy doing this project, but it would be great if somebody did. Think back to things like Jade Helm, all these different dates that we had. We can go back to that show that we played a clip of with Scorpio and Mike Sledge talking about back in the 90s where people were finding different coloured stickers on their mailboxes in America, and there was this big conspiracy theory that if you had a certain colour sticker you were going to get rounded up and put in a camp.
And I remember.
He said, I've got a yellow one. How long do I have? Remember that? That was hilarious.
Yeah.
But it'd be great if someone took all the dates we've been told, all these different Planet X dates, these different things can happen here, can happen there, and if they put them all together in some sort of document and we could look at that, and I'm not volunteering, folks, I've done enough timelines for me. My two books are enough, thanks. Thank you very much. But it could maybe even go up on the internet, or maybe it's happened so many times that it would have to be a book. Because I think if we could see something like that, then we wouldn't be so quick to jump on the beforeitsnews.com type bandwagon every time they come up with the next date to look out for. But that being said, going back to the eclipse and thinking of it as Total Eclipse of the Nothing Burger, on Friday at 7:23 a.m. as I typed this, I realised I have been having some really unpleasant dreams. Not nightmares, just not nice. And it has been all week, even when I slept in a different bed and location at my mum's house. So now I'm wondering if anyone else has experienced anything similar since the eclipse. And if so, please email me at andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com. That's andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com. Now, as I don't have my email address up on my website anymore, you will only ever hear it on one of my broadcasts. So you might want to make a note of it now. Once more, andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com. Funnily enough, I had another one of these, not nightmares, but not nice dreams last night as well. So the reason I threw that in there anyway is, staying on the subject of emails, Maleficus received this during the week. Dear Maleficus, I've listened to Andy for many years, but I've never commented on a show. When I want to comment, I look everywhere on his website, but can't find an email link. I regret to never having supported ACH, but I have supported cuttingthroughthematrix.com and themindrenewed.com in the past. I'm not wealthy. On the topic of toothpaste, could you pass on a message to Andy that I've been stocking up on the non-fluoride hemp toothpaste that he mentioned, which has never made me feel high, as you said, for more than a year now. I would also like to bring his attention to the non-fluoride charcoal version of toothpaste from the same company, but with a better toothbrush included. I alternate between two different iterations of this toothpaste Toothbrush Bonanza. Sorry for having to go through you, Mr. Scott, but hopefully this will give you a chuckle. Much love, Christopher. Well, thank you for that, Christopher. Yes, I did try the charcoal one quite a while ago, but did not like it for some reason, although I can't remember what it was. And funnily enough, I went into under the sink yesterday because I was cleaning my bathroom, and one of the toothbrushes that's there that, you know, used to clean round taps and that was the black and pink charcoal toothbrush. So I still kept that for these little odd jobs. On the subject of stocking up, I bought an extra 3 tubes of this hemp toothpaste in the last week. My problem is, though, I keep my backup toiletries in a drawer I once filled with books, and because it's only made of MDF, the base of the drawer fell through after time, and I had to buy another chest of drawers just for the parts to repair that. So I'm always nervous of how much to put in the drawer in case it falls through again, and it's one of those things that could be described to, oh, what one might say on a show. Do you say too much, and then you get the knock on the door, you never get told, well, actually, we heard something, you may need to be a bit careful there. No, they just wanted any excuse to come and, you know, try and ruin your life, in the same way that your jaw's not going to tell you, actually, we're feeling the strain now, it's just going to suddenly go. So, that being said, Maleficus, any comments before we move on?
Yeah, most drawers are made with hardboard in the bottom here in the UK, which is really a compressed form of cardboard if it does come apart, which I've had many of them come apart over the years. I literally glue them back in with wood glue when I put them back together, and they never move again.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I'll bear that in mind, certainly. So, okay. Well, thank you for that, and thank you for the email, Christopher. So let's have a look at the titles of the People's Voice shows in the last week, which you can find on their Rumble channel. I've listened to all of these. Listened to this one this morning. UK government to imprison citizens who eat meat under absolute zero rules. And apparently they're going to also start limiting what clothes you can buy. They go quite a lot of detail into this, so that was a good show. Then you've got Boeing whistleblower, plane crashes are inside job by global elite to usher in Agenda 2030. Claims in this one are basically they're just trying to make flying as unattractive as they possibly can. They also have the voice of that Boeing whistleblower who actually said he'd never killed, would never kill himself, and suddenly did. Funny how that happens, isn't it? Then we've got US state signed WEF treaty to spray chemtrails that permanently block the sun. And finally, we've got P. Diddy Insider, sickening child sex tapes involving elite VIPs given to FBI. So these all vary between 20 minutes and 12 and a half minutes. But I've listened to them all, and I think I've saved a couple, two out of the four I've saved, that I might listen to again at some point. And now Tom Sharp's satire, in which I will read a brief extract from each of his 16 books. This week, Tom Sharp's 16th and final book, The Wilt Inheritance, which was originally published in 2010. I'll just get to the right page. Here we are. Here we go, folks. Wilt headed for the allotments and his old friend Robert Coverdale. For some years now, Robert had lived in a shack there in preference to his own house, which was, as he put it, infested with shrews, namely my wife and her two maiden, that's the joke, two sisters. Wilt found him on all fours weeding his asparagus bed. The old man prized himself to his feet. You look like something the cat dragged in, he said, fetching another chair from the shack. I feel like it, said Wilt, sitting down. My wife, don't tell me, said Robert, and lit his blackened pipe. I know all about them, don't I just? You're damned lucky yours hasn't any sisters. Look at me, stuck with a pair of them. Unmarried hellcats is what they are. What's Eva been up to, beg your pardon, been down to this time? Wilt told him, pointing out for good measure, that despite his lack of sisters-in-law, he was lumbered with four diabolical daughters. The wages of sex, Robert told him. I reckon the amoeba has the right idea, lives on its own, completely single, and when it feels like having some offspring, it simply discards part of itself and lets the other half get on with its own life. The perfect solution. No responsibility, no hassle, no nagging, and, best of all, no sex. Certainly no jobs in the holidays, tutoring some young oaf whose father is an earl, or whatever this blighter is up to in North Fenland. Added to which, the old fellow went to Porterhouse, and Eva's told his wife I was there too. What's Porterhouse? Sounds like a steak to me. A Cambridge college, and about the worst example you can find. Full of hearties with big bank accounts and no brains. I don't even see why this moron thinks he needs A-level history to get in. Sounds like he more than meets the entrance requirements already. Thank God I never went to university, said Robert. I went straight into carpentry as an apprentice and made what money my wife hadn't spent yet, creating antique furniture and flogging it. Did kitchens too and parquet floors when things got tight. By the time Wilt went home an hour or so later, he was feeling decidedly better. Old Robert had his priorities right. He did his own cooking on a primer stove, heated the shack in winter with a paraffin burner, used an oil lamp to see by, and generally kept himself to himself. Nobody disturbed him because few people knew he was there, and the neighbouring allotment holders were grateful to him for keeping an eye on their vegetables and ensuring no one nicked them. No nagging wife, no awful daughters, and no bloody job to worry about either. Wilt wondered what the waiting list for allotments was like. And allotments, for those of you outside the UK, is a council-provided strip of land in a big field. Everyone gets a little bit. You have to go on a waiting list for it, and you can grow things on there. It's basically for people like myself. I might qualify because I don't have a garden, you see. I live in the flats, so you can get that. But, Malificus, any comments? You are a gardener, before we move on.
Yeah, there were some funny little bits in that, yeah, for sure. That was one of the most amusing ones I think you've read out, actually. So well done for saving that one till last. I remember the Wilt character from the TV show and from, yeah, obviously my dad had the Wilt book in our bookcase when I was a kid. So, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so now for this week's The People Who Failed to Join Sven Longshanks in Prison and How They Did It segment of the show, which is brought to you courtesy of the British Justice System. Sven Longshanks was sent to prison for 2.5 years on May the 15th, 2023, for comments he made on his radio show, the archives of which are still available on RadioAlbion.com, a station you could simply stop listening to if you chose to do so, even in the same way I stopped listening to the BBC over a year ago when I chose not to renew my television licence. So here are this week's people who failed to join Sven Longshanks in prison and how they did it. First up, Eastern Daily Press, Norwich shoplifter who attacks security guard avoids jail. Next, The Guardian, Extinction Rebellion co-founder avoids jail term for drone action near Heathrow. Next, Yorkshire Evening Post, Leeds man who admitted posting extremist pro-Hamas material online spared jail over terror offence. Next, Paris County Times, Paris man spared jail after being found with child images. And finally, this is Oxfordshire, teen boy avoids jail after rape of girl 12 in Kidlington. Whilst I could present many, many more headlines, that concludes this week's The People Who Failed to Join Sven Longshanks in Prison and How They Did It segment. But Maleficus, do you have any headlines for us before we close it up? Over to you.
Yeah, I do. Man very lucky to avoid prison over driving instructor attack. another one here. Ex-military man avoids jail after stabbing traveller in drunken brawl outside Shrewsbury pub. And finally, Leeds man avoids prison sentence after posting pro-Hamas footage on X Twitter. So there you go. Oh no, I have got one more here. There you go. Bury St. Edmunds man made threat with fake BB gun, caught told. So a BB gun is what you guys over in the US might call an airsoft. So a really underpowered air gun that fires plastic pellets. Still, nevertheless, you wield something like that in public, you could elicit an armed response from the UK police force. So how he managed to get away with wielding a fake gun is beyond me. But there we go. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Maleficus. I've just been noting down all the things that we've got through so far because I've been dominating the show, so I do apologise for that. That's why I've not been noting things down. But that being said, I was looking at This Daily Mail article earlier today headlined, "Did Roman Polanski drug and rape a teenage British actress, or is she a vengeful fantasist?" As a French court decides whether the fugitive director was wrong to call Charlotte Lewis a liar for publicly claiming he assaulted her, David Jones investigates. Now, this has proven to be a very popular article with, as of 7:34 a.m. today, 217 comments. And here is the most popular one from Lumpy Snow, with 471 upvotes and 47 downvotes. "This bloke's genius escapes me. Yes, he has done the odd good film here and there, but most of his output is stodgy, badly acted duds, much like Woody." To which Joe Bloggs 993 replied, "They're genius because they wear little hats," which received 163 upvotes and 54 downvotes. "Then Had Enough Now 22 threw his hat in the ring with this comment, 'Unlike children, there are a lot in Hollywood who do,' which received less attention, garnering 13 upvotes and 4 downvotes. And the reply string to the original comment by Lumpy Snow was closed by this unpopular comment by Mr. On SIG, 'I see where you're going with this, but many of us think they're very talented, despite their personal lives, Tess Macbeth, and in Alan's case, almost everything he's done,' which as of 7:50 a.m. today has 9 upvotes and 20 downvotes. And I will be including a link to this article in the post for this show at achshow.com. Now, as of December the 1st, 2022, we have a total of 2,362 people having died after taking the fake vaccine and 474,018 people having been injured after taking the fake vaccine. These figures were published on the British government's website page entitled Coronavirus COVID-19 Vaccine and First Reactions and were aggregated from the totals of the 5 vaccine analysis prints linked to on that page. I say were because the British government are no longer publishing these, as whilst their website page still exists, the 5 vaccine analysis prints have now been deleted from it. So I have absolutely no idea of the official figures today. Also, the UK government petition Stop the Online Safety Bill, Keep Free Speech Free, which as of this time last week had 454 signatures, including Shelley's, Malefica's and mine. As of yesterday, when the petition finally closed, it had 455 signatures, so one in a week. You have to get to 10,000 signatures for them to even look at it. And then you have to get to 100,000 for them to even, and I quote, I think, consider debating it in Parliament. They don't have to. I think they just consider. So
they consider it, yes.
Yeah. So we were miles away from that. But that's another thing we're going to end this week, along with the Tom Sharp satire. So it's going to free up more space for us and what have you. But now let's go to Malefica's for his The Great Distraction segment of the show. Malefica's, what have you got for us today?
Well, I've got to start with this one, Andy. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Pet owners, beware. You could catch a superbug from just touching your dog or cat. Experts issue terrifying warning over spread of drug-resistant illnesses. So, researchers concerned sick pets are passing on bugs to their healthy owners. Well, what's changed in the last few hundred years that we should be worried about touching our pets? Yeah, it's beyond me. anyway, you'll be glad to hear, folks. BBC article here. NHS spring COVID booster jab booking service is to open in the next few days. So there you go. From Monday, that'll be tomorrow, the NHS will take bookings from people in England wanting a free spring COVID booster vaccine. That's nice that it's free, isn't it, Andy? It's lovely that it's free.
Indeed.
It's free at the point of delivery anyway.
It's funny,
whether it's free or not. Yeah.
Because that was what I had to sign at my mum's. And the thing is, I said to him, I said, look, when you took her, it was on the agreement that she doesn't have any vaccines. It was even before this, she didn't want things like vaccines before the COVID. So, yeah, we've already got that, but can we have something in writing and what have you? And so, you know, when I went to visit her, I signed it up. But, yeah, so they're pushing that in the care homes, obviously. So I think that's probably worth mentioning, Malefica's. Back to you.
every year in the care homes, they line up for their flu jabs. And as I say, there were certain people in the care home that I left, not the one I did the gardening for, but the one I left before that. There were certain people when they were rolling out these jabs had said they didn't want it. One of them, was given it anyway and was dead the next day.
And if you listen to Dr. Vernon Coleman's latest video, this is the most important video he's done. He said it's up at the top of earthnewspaper.com, certainly yesterday. But he claims that there's going to be this big push for euthanasia, Mellificus. But you've come across that yourself in The Great Distraction, have you not?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a big push for euthanasia at the moment. Legalised killing people. You know, people with a mind to kill themselves will end up just doing it anyway, whether it's in law or not. The fact that you put something into law like that just opens it up to abuse, as far as I'm concerned. But there we go. Anyway, onwards with The Great Distraction. The sudden rise of AUDHD. What is behind the rocketing rates of this life-changing diagnosis? So AUHD is a mix between autism and ADHD. They were all just over a decade ago, autism and ADHD were thought to be mutually exclusive. But in recent years, it's all changed. What could be behind the change? I don't know. Anyway, over in the US, you've got Bernie Sanders. I can't believe that guy's still going. Bernie Sanders is to spend $10 billion on long COVID moonshot operation. But experts say the condition, long COVID, is hugely exaggerated. Well, you heard it there second. Long COVID leaves telltale traces in the blood, apparently. People with long COVID have distinct patterns of inflammation detectable in the blood, which could potentially be targeted with immune therapies. What's caused these changes in the blood? Who knows? So here we go. Mail online here. This is UK NHS, National Health Service. Worst heart care crisis in living memory exposed. Number of patients with serious heart problems forced to wait 18 weeks for care soars fivefold in the wake of the pandemic. So after the pandemic has I shouldn't be laughing about that. So it has increased fivefold in the wake of the pandemic. So in the wake, meaning afterwards. Obviously, you don't hold a wake for someone's funeral while they're still alive, do you? So more than 163,000 patients in England are waiting on the 32,000 in 2020. So that is a huge increase, a fivefold increase in heart problems since the pandemic. How could that possibly occur? I don't know. But just to put everyone's mind at rest. Hang on. Here we go. Got to go through all this silly nonsense again with the CDC. CDC in America have just killed a right wing COVID vaccine conspiracy theory. This is coming from MSNBC. And what they're referring to is an article here from www.cdc.gov. Assessment of risk for sudden cardiac death amongst adolescents and young adults after receipt of a COVID-19 vaccine. Oregon, June 2021 to December 2022. So basically, it says here, looking at the summary, I'm not going to read out the whole summary, but it says, what are the implications for public health practice? And I'm going to read this verbatim, word for word. The data do not support an association of COVID-19 vaccination with sudden cardiac death among previously healthy young persons. COVID-19 vaccination is recommended for all persons aged 6 months, above 6 months, to prevent COVID-19 complications, including death. So I just want to read out that first sentence again. The data do not support an association of COVID-19 vaccination with sudden cardiac death amongst previously healthy young persons. Well, with that kind of grammar, I can fully trust that CDC article. So here we go. What's the similarity or the difference between the mainstream and the independent media? 6 months to 2 years, maybe even three, depending on the subject matter. Morrison's COVID measures. This is an article from The Guardian talking about Scott Morrison, the Australian Premier at the time. Morrison's COVID measures, a grotesque overreaction to a relatively mild pandemic, Tony Abbott says. And finally, to follow the same vein, what's the difference or the similarity between the mainstream and the independent media? Mystery, as more Fauci emails surface and raise questions about his links to the COVID lab leak after he was accused of secretly conspiring with the CIA. More great distraction next week, I am sure. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Malificus. And not to shut the audience out of Malificus's little chuckle there, that was after I sent him this message on our chat. Oh no, I thought I was muted then. Never mind, people might find that funny, as I belched without realising I wasn't muted. So I do apologise if I upset anybody with that, but it was a genuine accident.
I was amazed I held it together until the point that you commented on it, actually.
Yeah, good job there. It was the other thing, you set me off on a couple of things there. I think it was a People's Voice video. Yeah, it was the one from yesterday. Well, I listened to it this morning. The most recent one, Bill Gates. I've heard it on something else. It might have been another one of theirs. But he's basically being interviewed by what sounds like an English guy, asking him, you know, he gets a lot of complaints that if he's supporting the environment, why is he jetting all around the world? And his answer is, well, basically, I put a lot more money in for mine and my family's carbon footprint than I take out, and also I you know, do a lot for this, so I need to travel around to hear these different things. Because he was at some conference, I think he was in Ghana or somewhere like that, or somewhere in Africa anyway. He was at a conference he was referring to. But the other thing that is something we've touched on here before, but Mick Griffin articulated it on a show he did last Tuesday on Purge.tv. And he said, basically, what these elites want, it's no longer a question of just them owning everything, but in order to get their little buzz, they want everyone else to own nothing, which is exactly what Klaus Schwab says. But what that means in essence is when they talk about us eating bugs, they don't think it's right that we should be able to eat meat. They think it's only right that they should be able to eat meat because they're the elite. So they should be able to do things that we're not able to do. So it's not sufficient for them to eat fillet steak and for us to eat rump steak. We shouldn't be eating any sort of meat. They should have all the finest things for themselves and we should just eat bugs because that's how they get their kick. It's not enough, as I say, just to have it all. They have to have people that don't have anything in order to get them off, it sounds like. And he brought up some interesting things historically that which you may be familiar with, Malificus, because you seem to have a breadth of knowledge that most people I know haven't got. The know all sorts of different things like you do. But there were certain times in history, because the era they want to go back to is a feudal system, and the peasants could only wear like brown clothing, and then the elites could wear these different colours of clothing, but it would vary what part of the elite you were. For example, and I forget who he said it was, Nick Griffin, but there was some sort of person that was only allowed to wear purple, but no other person could wear purple, and all these things went on in that time. So that's where these people want to go. So I think what we've had is we had this feudalistic system when you had this certain aristocracy, which has since been replaced by, certainly in the West, the Coudenhove clergy model of who the aristocracy are going to be and who the peasants are going to be. And now that they've got that in place, they want to put a feudal system on top of that to give them all these benefits that other people do not get. But have you heard any stories about people wearing different clothing if they were a certain status in historical times, Malificus?
No, I'm not familiar with that, I have to say. There you go. There, my breadth of knowledge finishes abruptly before that point. But one thing I did find interesting about his answer was, I put more into, you know, the carbon system than anyone. What he's basically saying is, well, I'm rich and you're not.
Yeah.
And that is the crux of it. It doesn't matter how you dress it up. It doesn't matter how you glorify it. He's just saying, well, I'm rich and you're not, so I can afford to do it. There you go, plebeian.
Yeah, and it also reminded me what Nick Griffin said, and I did touch on this on Saturday's show, but it's worth repeating. Paul English always says radio is repetition. When I heard Nick saying that stuff, I was reminded of what Dr. Rima Labo said on the tarmac of the airport to Jesse Ventura in that famous conspiracies program, where she said that this female head of state that she wouldn't name said it's almost time for the great culling, because the people are taking away our natural resources and they shouldn't be allowed to have it. They belong to us. And she actually said Rima Labo said, well, you have everything, why do you need more? She said, you don't understand, the mercantile system is coming to an end and we're returning to a feudal system. So there you go, folks. All the pieces are starting to fit together, aren't they? And as the pieces fit together more, the censorship has to go up. So the majority don't learn what the minority has planned for them, in case the majority will not allow the minority to implement those plans. So now it's time for some of this week's Daily Mail articles that didn't end up behind their Mail Plus paywall. First up, this is quite timely, I ate cricket meat mince and it was delicious. Here's why we should all be eating insects. Next, fury as Scotland's new hate police tell woman they are discarding her complaint about a Star of David merged with a swastika in Facebook post made by SNP minister's relative because she isn't Jewish. Hang on, that doesn't sound right. Next, SNP minister condemns his own father over an anti-Semitic post of a swastika merged with the Star of David as police U-turn over an investigation into the image. Ah, yes, that's more like it. Next, Palestinian terrorist admits international media is being manipulated into blaming Israel for horrors in Gaza. Footage shows prisoner explaining how rocket-hitting hospital was blamed on IDF. Next, Subway announces major menu shake-up with three new sandwiches and a side dish arriving and a fan favourite making a return. It's interesting, isn't it, how the Daily Mail really seemed to think that fast food restaurant menus are serious news items that they have to get out to everybody. Next, I was really selfish to have a baby at 41, says BBC presenter Rachel Burden, as she reveals the difficulties she experienced during her fourth pregnancy. Next, Jamie Carragher tells footballers in their 20s, including his own son, not to have children for the sake of having no distractions in their careers. Next, schools across the UK face closure as the country's falling birth rate hits pupil numbers, report warns. Wow. How did that happen? Next, inside William's close relationship with second mum Carol Middleton, as pair enjoy a pub outing together, the Prince of Wales confides in his mother-in-law and even helps with housework at her Berkshire mansion. I'm sure she gets a lot of housework done at her Berkshire mansion, as does he. And finally, average penis sizes around the world are revealed in interactive map, and the US and UK are nowhere near the top 10. Okay, so that's almost it for me, Maleficus. Please close out your contribution to today's show with your news roundup of the week. The floor is yours.
This media push for the concern with penis size, it's always been there, hasn't it? I mean, we used to talk about people driving around in sports cars as driving around in their phallic symbols.
Yeah.
You know, he's making up for something. He's got a fancy car, so he's obviously got a small penis. You know, this obsession is just, it's been there for so long. And I think that's one of the things they were doing, according to, I think it was, weren't they dropping huge condoms out of aircraft in Vietnam to make the Vietnamese think that the Americans were more manly than they were?
I'm not sure. I know that they were seeding clouds, that they had control of the weather back then, but that was as far as I got into it.
Do you know what? It's funny, because the weather this year has been appalling. We have, I've been, as you know, gardening. December was quite dry. Come first, second week of January, it has thrown it down with rain ever since. And if you think back, Andy, to the 20th of February, four years ago, we had stunning weather for the whole of the lockdowns, all of it. That was an amazing year for lovely weather. You know, it worked out very well for the establishment that everyone was very happy to stay at home and sit in their garden and have barbecues and all that kind of thing. It worked. The weather worked very, very well for the establishment. Uncanny, I think. Absolutely uncanny.
Well, on that note, just very quickly, because I understand, I'm just sort of looking here now, but Shelley Tasker, here we are, she had a guy called Mike Byford on the Shelley Tasker show on February the 28th, and I heard him, he was on, I think last week, not last Monday, just gone, the Monday before, on Fockham Hall Radio. And he's a farmer, and he said that we're going to have all these massive shortages because all these crops are being destroyed because we've had so much rain and it's waterlogged everything. And I was reading this week stories in the Daily Mail talking about they're prepping us for this, terrible harvest that we're going to have. And he doesn't believe, he doesn't believe that this is natural and that there has to be some sort of man-made involvement to destroy these crops. And we see throughout the world, they're trying to destroy, you know, all these places burning down in America and what have you. They're just doing it a different way over here, it would seem.
Mm. Well, hence there's a huge movement in the UK at the moment, no farmers, no food.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting. So,
isn't it? Isn't it? Okay, so moving on. Children, this is coming from the Mail Online. Children addicted to tech, including smartphones, are more at risk of psychosis, study suggests. How much do you think they paid for that study, Andy? Is it not bloody obvious? I mean, really? So here we go. Sticking with sort of, this isn't great distraction stuff, but it is COVID stuff. So more than 800 company directors are banned, are disqualified from owning any companies, blah, 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 for abusing the COVID loans. So a number of company directors disqualified for abusing COVID support schemes rose by 80% last year, with more than 800 banned, according to the insolvency service. So there is a government webpage on that as well. If anyone's interested, give me a shout, maleficus@outlook.com, and I can send you any of the links that I've used in this week's show or any former show up to about a month ago. So do give me a shout. So here we go. How about this one, Andy? COVID Support Force, the CSF. The Ministry of Defence's contribution to the coronavirus response. So on the 18th of March, the Defence Secretary announced new measures to enable armed forces personnel to support public services in response to the coronavirus outbreak. Now, I'm looking at that and I don't know what's been done about that in recent months. I'm looking at that and it's an old article. I don't know what's been done about that in recent months. So apologies for that, folks. That came up in my news feed as a recent article. But nowadays, Andy, we have the company that, what was the name of the company that asked for the tenders electronic program.
Yeah, the EU tenders electronic daily thing. I'll bring up the link. Let me just Yeah, I'll just have to quickly...
UK HSA, something like...
Oh, the MRHA, sorry.
The MRHA, yes. Sorry, so, yeah. which stood for... MRHA, what did that stand for again, Andy?
It's the Medical Health Regulatory Agency, I think.
There you go. So nowadays, we're not going to need... we're not going to need any sort of military response from the military. A, because our spending has got to go on, on a war footing now. Apparently, according to UK newspapers, we have to, spend more on UK defence. But also now we have the UK Health and Security Agency. I said, like I've said so many times, I wonder how long it'll be before they are actually a security service carrying guns. So yeah, apologies for that old article there. That slipped into my feed. So here you go. Here's definitely one that is up to date. Last updated 13th of April 2024. So that was yesterday. Former biotech CEO gets 7 years in prison for false claims about a rapid COVID-19 test. So from February 2020 to December 2020, the former executive Keith Berman, 70, of Westlake Village, California, engaged in a scheme to defraud people into investing in his company, Decision Diagnosis Corp, by claiming that the test could detect COVID using a finger prick sample of blood, prosecutors said. Well, it may have been more reliable than the PCR test, which was never meant as a diagnostic tool anyway. So don't see anyone hauling the UK Health Security Agency over the coals for that, or even the CDC for pushing the whole PCR test nonsense. Anyway, so UKDJ here, so that is the UK Defence Journal, ukdefencejournal.org.uk, says here, the UK clarifies positions on citizens fighting for Israel. Lord Ahmad of Wimbledon stated that British dual nationals are permitted to serve in recognised foreign military forces like the Israeli Defence Force, as the Foreign Enlistment Act of 1870 does not apply to the situation in Gaza. That's interesting, isn't it? And also, this week, Foreign Secretary Lord Cameron said the UK would not block arms sales to Israel after reviewing the latest legal advice on the issue. Well, as long as we're above board and within the law, I suppose it's fine to bomb the hell out of a load of people we don't even know, or at least assist. So here we have an article here that was sent to me from one of the listeners. This is declassifieduk.org. So all one word, declassifieduk.org. And there's an article here saying former British minister, Sir Alan Duncan, former British minister, quote unquote, the Israelis think they control the Foreign Office, and they do. Recently published diaries of the former Foreign Minister Alan Duncan provide an unprecedented window into the influence of the Israeli government and affiliated Israel lobby groups have over the UK Foreign Office. So again, if anyone wants any of these articles, feel free, give me a shout. They're all widely available on the internet. So I have there you go, final thing from me. UK and Ukraine sign new defence pact. So this is published on the 10th of April, 2024, being very mindful of my dates after that last one. So the UK and the Ukraine sign a new defence agreement to encourage cooperation on the defence and industrial issues. So the bullet points at the start of the article are UK and Ukraine to sign new agreement on the defence and industrial cooperation. Signing came during UK's largest ever trade mission to Ukraine since Russia's full-scale invasion, with 29 UK defence businesses in Kiev. They've put Kyiv here, but Kiev, to meet Ukrainian businesses. So 29 UK defence businesses are to meet up with Ukrainian businesses. Trade Minister Greg Hands also in Kiev to sign the arrangement, co-chair infrastructure task force, and attend the trade mission. So doesn't that just put your mind at rest, folks? Not escalating anything here from the UK, at least not in my name. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Minister. It's funny you say that because I had some chicken Kievs from Tesco recently. I get these ones by the Hearty Food Company whenever I'm in there. I'm not in there a lot. You have to be in a big store to get them. They don't do it in their little local stores. But then I was in another supermarket, I forget which, but they had chicken Kievs, and I didn't buy them because I didn't know what they were. But that being said, you referred to the Alan Duncan. Mark Collett, that was his featured video on Friday. So if you go to his BitChute channel, former minister exposes the Israel lobby. Sir Alan Duncan has exposed the level of control that the Israel lobby has over the Conservative Party and the British government, referring to those supporting Israel's illegal activities as extremists. Find out how the Israel lobby operates, how it bypasses proper parliamentary processes, and how it affects our freedom. So that is the title of, or the description of, former minister exposes the Israel lobby from Mark Collett's BitChute channel, which is a 15-minute video I listened to last Friday, when it was released. And a little hat tip to you, Mlyfkas, this Vernon Coleman presentation I referenced earlier, I'll give you the title now. He's got a BitChute channel. It's called They Want to Kill You, Here's How They'll Do It. And this is the first that he's produced in months, apparently, because he's been doing other things. It's 27 minutes. He said he's worked for months on it. Talking about them pushing euthanasia. But another thing that he mentioned, I thought of you when he said this, he was talking about general practitioners, you know, doctors, in quite a disparaging way. And he was talking about how they only do 20 something hours a week. I always thought they work really long hours, but he said, no, they don't do, you know, the normal 35 hour or more week that most of us do. I don't know if that's true or not. He also said that they get a standard £100,000 salary a year, along with a £50,000 bonus for vaccinations. And he didn't go into the details of exactly how many vaccinations they had to achieve to get the 50K, but it was interesting how he referred to that as a bonus on top of a salary. But is there anything else that you want to add to that or not?
Well, as I said, a guy that comes and plays bass for me and Jeff, my bandmate, he is a practicing GP. And he said, when I asked him about bonuses or how the salary is affected by what percentage of service users, i.e. registered, registered patients at the practice, basically he said, yeah, that the salary is dependent on what percentage, that it has to be over, above a certain percentage of the patients that are registered at the practice. They have to be up to date on their vaccinations, quote unquote, because it directly affects the partners in the practice. It affects their salaries. It affects their income. So, we have reported about that over a year ago now on this show, but that's straight from the horse's mouth. And I said, is that true? I asked the good doctor, I'm not going to say what his name is, but I asked him, and he said, and he looked at me and he said, well, now you know how they control us. That was literally what he said to me.
I remember that exact comment you were laying on this show. Yeah,
and you've actually seen footage of us playing playing music with that guy there. So I'm there's no nonsense. It's that's genuinely, that is the truth. So,
well, thank you so much, Mlyfkas. Fascinating information as always. Okay, last item. Daily Mail headline: shocked doctor discovers 30-year-old build-up of smegma under the foreskin of married man who was suffering agonizing pain in his penis. On that bombshell, you have been listening to the Limeys episode 163, entitled A Bug Man's Life. We Limeys will be back with you next Sunday. Peter and I will be back with you on Tuesday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful week, and bye for now.